Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? Doing okay? Come on, guys. We've had like 4 days of like 60 degree plus weather with sunshine. Everyone should be out of their minds excited right now. You know, we've been in this series called Change is Good, and with all of this sunshine, I'm just starting to think like maybe we just need sunshine, you know? Like maybe that's all I needed for change was some sunshine to get out of this seasonal affective disorder that's going on. But really, though, we live in a beautiful part of the country. Did you know that? We live in a wonderful place, so I have no complaints, right? Welcome, everyone. My name is Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here. So good to see all of you here at our 10:30 service. Like I had mentioned, we're in our series, Change is Good. We're actually wrapping it up today. Today is the final week of our series that we're calling Change is Good, and I think it's just good that we're honest with one another this morning as we start, as we dive into this topic, because I know that some of you are still really suspicious about this change stuff. Right? Some of you are like, you keep saying change is good, Ryan, but I don't see it. I'm not experiencing that. I'm not feeling that. And I get that. So far, over the last 4 weeks, we've talked about how things like trials transform us, and that's not fun, and how God renews our minds, and how we're not supposed to conform to this world, and how we're new creations. And yet, listen, here's the reality that I think many of us face as we walk into a room like this today. Some of us just find ourselves stuck in the same struggles, in the same cycles, in the same bad habits, week after week, month after month, year after year. It's like you set out to change at the beginning of the week and you're like, man, this is the week where I finally start to eat healthy. And then 3 days later, you're in front of the refrigerator at 11 p.m. eating shredded cheese out of the bag. We all know what that's like, right? Yeah. Right? I'm just kidding. Or yes, just me. Or you tell yourself, I'm going to be more gracious and patient on the road when I drive. But then you're driving on 405 during rush hour, and somehow the government has labeled your specific vehicle as E for explicit, because the words that are going on inside of that car are not safe for little ears. Because you're swearing at other drivers, okay? That's why, all right? I just want that to be clear, right? It's okay, right? I know you guys do it. What do we do, listen, church, when we want to change, but we don't feel like we're changing? What do we do in that moment? That's what we're going to talk about today, because real change comes about not through trying harder, but by surrendering deeper. That's how change happens. Not by trying harder, but by surrendering more deeply. Why is it that when we want to change, we oftentimes find ourselves very quickly in this process of change feeling stuck? Well, I think it's because for many of us, change just feels like an ongoing battle that we continue to lose time and time again. And if that is you, and you have been sitting with us and gathered with us over this last month, and you've just felt like, man, change is impossible, I want you to know, you're not alone. You're not alone in feeling like change is hard, like change is difficult, like change is painful. Listen, we can call this series Change is Good, and all of those other things can be true too. Change is all of those things. You are not alone in feeling like that. Even the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest theological minds, one of the greatest missionary forces for the sake of the church, one of the most productive humans in church history, he wrote this in Romans 7. Listen. He said, I do not understand what I do. Paul is writing this at like the latter end of his ministry. He is an older man at this point. And he is saying this. Listen. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I do want, but what I hate, I do. If we're being honest this morning, church, that sentence right there should like resonate deeply with each of us, yeah? I mean, Paul here is literally saying, I know the things that I should be doing. I get it. And I actually, inside, I feel like I want to do that thing. But then when the rubber meets the road and life actually happens, I find myself oftentimes doing the thing I hate and not doing that thing that I wanted to do. that resonate with you at all? You feel that at all? It's like when you say, okay, I'm going to go to bed early tonight, and then you find yourself at 1 a.m. on YouTube on some rabbit hole studying about the Roman Empire, right? Again, is that just me? Or you tell yourself I should read my Bible in the morning, but instead you wake up and 2 hours later you've watched enough reels to last you for the week. I know there are a lot more of you in that category in this church with that respect. But listen, if that's you, Paul gets it. Paul understands. And here's the thing. This isn't just a human struggle. This is actually a theological struggle. We actually struggle with change oftentimes because we have, and we're not so aware of this, we have common coping strategies for how we change. Many of us think that change comes from just pure willpower, and that the reasons why we're not changing is because I'm not trying hard enough. We assume that if we just set our intentions correctly, if we just try harder, we are going to achieve all of our goals. But let me just ask all of you, how's that going for you? Accomplish some of them, not all of them. This is all leading to this first thing I want to talk about today, and that is the wrong ways that we try to change. The wrong ways that we set about as we leave a space like this and go out into like real, actual life and we try to change. Many of us, whether we realize it or not, we have internally a default approach to change. And usually it falls in one of three categories, and there's a couple here at the very beginning that I just want to address, wrong ways that we try to change. And here's one. I'll just simply call it this: God, then me. God, then me. Now let me explain. Here's what this means. This strategy is the belief that God is the one who starts the change. He enters into your life, and he saves you, he forgives you, but then it's like he sends you out on your own with like a laminated copy of 10 steps on how to be a better person, and he says, all right, champ, go get it. We have this mentality that it's God, then me. And so we do, if this is us, we do what we always do. We try harder. We grit our teeth. We clench our fists. We say, you know what? No, this time I'm going to change. January 1st, 2025. This is the time for change. How are the New Year's resolutions going, folks? Probably not too great, right? And so we do what we always do. We try harder. We grit our teeth. We clench our fists. And at first, oftentimes this seems to work. For a few days, for a few weeks, maybe even for a few months, we wake up early, we read our Bible for a few days in a row, we get by for a few weeks without yelling at other drivers, but eventually, here's what happens, eventually, the weight of trying to change in our own willpower, it just crushes us, and listen, you will burn out. You'll burn out. You'll throw in the towel. This is why so many of us feel exhausted in our faith, because we think that transformation is something that we are supposed to do on our own, in our own power. And again, you might hear that and be like, no, that's not me. But listen, there is a difference between what you would say you believe and what your life actually like shows that you believe. And if you're honest with yourself, I think so many of us in this room, the lives we live would say like, no, it's God's not really involved in my changing process. I've got to get my stuff together and do it the way I need to do it. If you think that lasting change is something that you manufacture through sheer willpower, though, you will burn out. And when you burn out, here's what happens. You will feel like a failure. You will feel so ashamed. And the enemy and your own like mind are going to use that as fuel to keep you stuck. And you're just not going to press on any further. You're not going to try to change because you did that and it didn't work. That's one wrong way that we try to change. God, then me. Here's another one. The opposite extreme, God, not me. God, not me. And in this approach, what we do is we swing so far in the opposite direction and we think something like this. Well, God is all powerful, and he's the one who sets the standards, and he found me and saved me, and so if he wants to change me, he'll do it. He'll change me. And this one sounds more spiritual, I think. But I think oftentimes what this is just passivity wrapped in spiritual language. This is the mentality of let go and let God. Sounds really nice. But nowhere do you see that in the scriptures. Oftentimes we hear this in phrases like this. I'm just waiting on God. Now caveat, of course we're called to wait upon God and be patient. But many times we use that phrase as sort of a guard against making any active decision on something. We say, I'm just waiting on God. Or, I know I should work on that, but I'm just trusting in the Lord's timing. Or one day, God's going to remove this struggle from me, but until he does that, I guess this is just who I am. And if we're being honest, listen, I think much of this is just code for, I'm tired and content with doing nothing, and so I'm just going to hope for the best and live my life the way I want to live my life. And listen, I think one truth in this view is that, of course, it is God who is the one who is doing the transforming. He is doing the changing. Of course, it is his power that is work within us, but nowhere in Scripture does it say, just sit back and enjoy as sanctification just rolls over you while you watch television. That's not how it works. As much as I wish it did, it's not how it works. Paul doesn't say, hey, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Let go and let God know. He says, be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Those are active verbs in an active process. It is something, listen, church, that we step into and we engage with. But here's where the confusion comes in. If change isn't about trying harder, but it's also not about doing nothing and hoping for the best, then what is it? What is it? Well, the answer, again, isn't about working hard or working harder, and it's not about sitting back and doing nothing. Listen, it's about surrendering deeper. It's not God, then me, and it's not God, not me. It's simply this, church. This isn't rocket science. It's this. It's God through me. That's the right mindset for change. God through me. And Paul captures this paradox so well in Philippians 2 when he says this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, sir, Paul. I got it. But then look at the second part. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his goodness. And so which is it? Is it me working? Is it God working? Which one is it? And the answer is, I already heard it there a couple seconds ago. The answer is yes. The answer is both. The answer is both. It's yes. It's stepping out in obedience while trusting that God is the one who provides the strength. It's showing up. It's doing, listen, church, what we can do and trusting God to do what only God can do. In other words, here's the headline of today's teaching. Real change comes from surrender and not striving. Real change comes from surrender, not striving. Now, if we're being real, being honest, most of us don't like this word surrender. We like words like grit, hustle, willpower, striving, determination. You go to a job interview and they're like, what are some qualities about you? You're like, I've got grit. I've got willpower. I can strive. I'm determined. You go into a job interview and you say, what are some character qualities you're really good? I'm really good at surrendering. You think you're going to get that job? But listen, it sounds weak. It sounds passive. It sounds like something losers do. And I don't mean that like in a mean way, but like in a war, when you surrender, you what? You waved the white flag. You lost. Well, listen, surrender is not entirely passivity. It's trust. It's trust. It's learning to rely on God and his strength instead of constantly exhausting your own. Paul understood this. He wrote to the 2 Corinthians. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul is literally saying that God in his power does not show up in might when we feel like we've got it all together. And we're like, man, I am crushing it right now. I'm waking up early. I'm on that grind. I need no one or no thing. I can do it. Paul's saying, no, no, no. God's power is made perfect in your weakness. In our weakness, when we stop trying to muscle our way through this life and we just simply start trusting God to do in us what we can't do on our own, that is when change starts to happen. And maybe for you, that's the hardest part, because deep down inside, what you really want is you want control. You want to control your life. You want to be the one who manages your transformation. You want to dictate the terms of your growth. You want to change on your timeline and in your way without ever having to fully let go. And listen, if you find yourself on week 5 of this Change is Good series and you're like, man, I want to change, but I'm stuck, oftentimes it's because we are in this phase of just white-knuckling it in our faith instead of open-handedly surrendering to Jesus. And this is what Jesus has always been inviting us to, church. He's always been inviting us to partner with him, to trust in him, to surrender to him, to be dependent on him in radical ways that might blow your mind. He says in John 15, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And many of us have probably heard this passage so many times. But if you just stop and think about that last sentence that Jesus says there, apart from me, you can do. Jesus doesn't say, hey, apart from me, it's going to be tougher. It's going to take you longer. Hey, you're eventually going to get there, but apart from me, it's going to be hard. He doesn't say that. Apart from Jesus, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Nothing. And we don't like that because we want to believe that, sure, maybe we just need a little divine boost, a little help here and there, once in a while. But nothing? Nothing? That's a hard pill to swallow. But what if this isn't Jesus trying to insult us? What if this is simply Jesus trying to set us free? He's not trying to insult us. What if Jesus is saying, no, surrender isn't about losing. Surrender is actually the only way to win. Listen, real lasting transformation isn't about striving more. It's about abiding more. It's about staying connected to Jesus. It's about allowing him to shape us, change us, prune us, renew us in ways, man, that we could never do on our own. And so I would just ask all of you here today, are you actually abiding in Christ in your lives? Or are you still just trying to do all of this on your own? Because if you're exhausted, if you're frustrated, if you feel stuck in the same cycles over and over and over again, maybe it's because you're trying to live for Jesus rather than live with Jesus. Or you're living for yourself instead of rather living with Jesus. And that's where real change starts. It starts by living with Jesus, by abiding in him, John 15. And so let's talk about what that surrender actually looks like. Let's talk about the process of surrender. If real change comes from surrendering and not striving, if transformation happens when we stop trying to white-knuckle and control every aspect of our lives, and we instead learn to actually abide in Jesus, what does this actually practically look like? What are the actual steps? What's the framework with which we need to walk into in order to begin to see a life that is truly surrendered? Because again, surrender might sound nice in theory and in a sermon, and we might be like, yeah, that's what I want to do, and then we'll go about our lives and we won't even touch the topic again. Because what it looks like practically to begin to surrender, it's actually scary. Mildly terrifying in very small ways. Surrender, essentially, church, means letting go of control. Letting go of control. And I don't know about you, but I really like being in control. I really like knowing what the plan's going to be, how things are going to unfold, where we're going, what we're doing, how it's going to happen. I like plans. Anyone else with me? Yeah. I like predictability. I like a good routine. And I know I'm not alone in this. And listen, routines and discipline, fantastic. That's great. If that's true in your life, that's wonderful. But listen, it's not entirely how we change. I think it's why we resist surrender. Because we assume that if we let go, tell me if this is true about you. We assume that if we let go, everything's going to fall apart. We assume that if we stop, this is not true about me, but it might be true about you. We assume that if we stop obsessing over the future, we'll end up homeless, barefoot, and living under a bridge. I don't think that ever. We assume that if we stop trying to fix ourselves, we'll never change. We assume that if we stop striving, nothing will happen. But here's the irony. The more we strive, the more we try to control, the more anxious we'll become. The more we surrender, the freer we'll become. I mean, I even think that as we try to change in our own willpower, as good as we might feel for a few weeks or a few months, a crash is going to come if we haven't truly surrendered. And so we might have months of just like, man, I'm praising God, all of this change. But if it's done in our own willpower, we're going to come crashing down again. So we need to surrender. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 16. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. You could meditate on that verse for a whole year and still not get to the bottom of it. In other words, real life is found on the other side of surrender. And maybe that sounds great and you're like, yeah, okay, surrender is good. But practically, how do we do this? Well, let me just walk us through a few things. Let's break it down and start with this. The first thing we're called to surrender is our thoughts. We talked about this a few weeks ago. So much of it starts in our minds. It's why Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Romans 12. Before you can change your actions, you have to change your mindset. You have to change your thinking. And this is really urgent for some of us because some of us have some real garbage living rent-free in our minds. Fear, anxiety, insecurity, self-hatred, lies we've been believing for years, narratives that are just on repeat in our minds over and over again. And here's why that's such a big problem. It's such a big problem because how you think shapes what you do. How you think shapes what you do. And so if you believe, man, I'm always going to be a failure, you're going to stop trying. If you believe that, man, God is always disappointed in me, you're never going to approach him and talk to him. If you believe that you will never change, you will always stay stuck. That's why surrender starts with taking inventory of our thoughts. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. In fact, in the Greek, and that's why it's translated this way, we take captive. Captive is like front-loaded. Captive is like the main word. We take captive every thought. Think about that imagery, taking a thought captive. That means, again, and we said this a few weeks ago, not every thought that pops into your mind deserves a bed and breakfast welcome. Taking this verse to heart means that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have a bouncer in your brain and you can kick those thoughts out. Listen, if you've never done it before, it's awkward and weird and hard at first. But as you practice it over time, you will see change. You will see change. If a thought shows up that says, hey, you're a loser, you're never going to change, check it against Scripture. Last time I checked in Scripture, it doesn't exactly say you're a loser, right? That's a lie. If you hear in your mind, man, like, I'm too far gone. I can't be forgiven. I'll never be loved. Just ask yourself, is that something that Jesus would say to me? If your thoughts don't line up with truth, kick them out. Listen, you will never live a transformed life with a broken mindset. So first of all, surrender starts in your mind, but it doesn't stop there. Surrender and transformation is not an entirely mental game. Listen, we are also called to surrender our habits. If we want to live a life of surrender and see true change and not be stuck anymore, we will surrender our habits, our patterns, our routines. Because surrender isn't simply a feeling, it's actually a decision, and it's a decision that shows up in these actions. You don't just think your way into change, you actually also have to live your way. into change. You aren't just magicked into a changed person all of a sudden. It is a process, and so we must surrender our thoughts and we surrender our habits. But here's a question I want to ask about your habits. What do your habits say about what you're currently surrendering to right now? Is your first instinct in the morning to open the Bible or open your phone? And as you answer that question, then you'd ask yourself, who's really discipling me? When you're feeling anxious and fearful and stressed, do you run to God or do you run to Netflix and TikTok or something else to numb it? Then you would ask yourself, who is my true comforter? If your routine in your life never makes space for community and giving of your life in service and giving of your resources generally, then you'd have to ask yourself, what do I really value? What do I really care about in this world? And I'm not here to guilt trip you. We all have habits that shape us. The question that we all have to ask ourselves is, are your habits leading you to God or are they leading you away from Him? Because as we talk about transformation through surrendering your habits, you have to understand that this isn't like a one-time deal. We can't just say, oh, I remember I surrendered back in 2016. I'm good. Or like, I remember that Christian summer camp. I threw the stick in the fire and I surrendered. And so I have surrendered. If you don't know what that reference is like a reference to, you're okay. I'm not going to explain it to you. It's all good. But surrender is not just a one-time event. This is a daily decision. Every single day. Christ talked about this in Luke 9. He said this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross for one moment in their life and follow me. Oh, I didn't read that correctly. Sorry, hold on one second. Let's read that again. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. What does it say there? Daily, yes. You guys got that right. Daily. And follow me. Transformation happens in the daily surrender. Choosing to talk to God rather than ruminate on worst case scenarios. Every day, choosing to confess rather than to hide, choosing to show up in community instead of isolating yourself, choosing to give of your time and your resources instead of hoarding them. We do these in small, consistent ways, and it leads to big, lasting change. And maybe this is all feeling a little overwhelming, and you're like, man, I really do want to change. I want to surrender my thoughts, my habits, and all this, but it's going to be quite a process, but I really don't even think I have the strength for it. Like, I know you're talking about willpower. I've got none of that, so I don't even know how that's going to happen. I don't have the strength, and guess what? You don't. No one here does. No one here has the strength, but God does. And that leads us to the final part. Surrender your strength. Surrender your strength. Because at the end of the day, you can't change yourself. You can't muscle your way into transformation. You can't white-knuckle your way into holiness. You can't strive your way into sanctification. It's why Paul writes at the end of Romans 7. Remember, at the very beginning, we read Romans 7:15. But at the very end of that passage, Paul writes this, "What a wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" I mean, do you hear that frustration? How many of us have at one point tried and tried to change, but you failed over and over and over again, and you just found yourself, whether it was in your car or in your bedroom or with a friend, and you just said, what a wretched person I am. Why can't I change? Have you ever been there before? You found yourself, you're just like, man, like what is going on with me? But also notice in Paul's words, the shift. He's exhausted. He's over it. He's frustrated. But listen, he's also just deeply aware and in a way, okay with his weakness. He's okay with his weakness, but he doesn't stay there. He doesn't say, what a wretched man that I am. Man, I've got to get it together. I've got to download some apps and start to work harder on this change thing. He doesn't say, what a wretched man that I am. I'm just going to throw in the towel. This is who I am. I give up. No. He doesn't do either of those things. He says, what a wretched man that I am. And then he lifts his eyes to Jesus. And he looks to Jesus. he realizes that real lasting change isn't something we can manufacture. It's something that only God can do, not just in Paul, but in all of us. And that's the invitation for us today. Not to try harder, not to give up, but listen, to surrender your strength and lean on God. Real change is not about becoming a better, more efficient version of yourself. Real change is about becoming a new creation in Christ. And that might be different than the better, efficient version of you. So let me ask this. Let's get personal right now. Where do you need to surrender? Where in your life do you need to surrender? For some of you, maybe it's your thoughts. And you've just been living with the same destructive pattern of thinking in your mind year after year, the same lies, and today is the day where you start to figure out, how am I going to replace those lies with truth? For some of you, you have to replace habits. You need to take an honest look at what you're doing on the daily and ask yourself, are these things leading me to God, or are they leading me away from Him? And I think for many, most, probably just all of us, we have to surrender our strength. And we try to change on our own. We try to carry the weight of our own transformation or lack thereof. And today, what we need to do is we just have to open our hands and we have to say, God, I can't do this without you. I can't do this on my own. God, I can't do this on my own. And the good news is, listen, you can't. But the even better news is, you weren't meant to. You weren't meant to do it on your own. And so I want to invite all of us now as we wrap up. If you're comfortable, would you just close your eyes with me right now? Maybe even just take a deep breath. And as you do, I want you to picture whatever it is that you've been holding on to. And maybe it's a habit that you can't seem to break. Maybe it's a sin that you keep falling into. Maybe it's a fear that you just can't let go of. Maybe it's a situation that you've been trying to control, a weight that you've been carrying, a burden you're afraid of laying down. And as you're sitting there right now with our eyes closed, I want you to do something simple. If you want to do this, just open up your hands. You don't have to lift them up. You don't have to raise them high. Just rest them in your lap, your palms open. And would this just be a physical symbol of a spiritual reality? With our hands open and our eyes closed, that whatever we've been clenching onto, whatever we've been white-knuckling, we're just simply, in this simple way, surrendering it to God. Because the truth is, we were never meant to carry any of this alone. Matthew 11 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He goes on to say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So with our eyes closed and our hands open, I would just ask, what would it look like for you to stop striving and start surrendering? What would it look like in your life if you stopped trying to manufacture change and started to trust the one that could actually transform you? Even right now, in the quietness of your own heart, name the thing that you need to let go of before God. Whisper it to Him. Whisper it in your heart. And just tell God, God, today, I surrender this to you. And then just sit in that stillness. Would we allow the weight of that thing to lift off of our shoulders, if just for today, and let His presence remind you that He's got you, that His grace is enough, that you don't have to do this on your own. And Father, we release these burdens into your hands. We trust that you are working in us and in our church, even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it. Would you teach all of us what it means to abide in you, to trust you, to be transformed by you? And so we surrender today, not just once, God, but every day. In Jesus' name.